always a wonderful opportunity to come to Prayer of Faith, and I do always enjoy myself here. I feel right at home, very relaxed, and it's just a wonderful experience to be able to share the Word of the Lord to people that really want to hear what God's got to say. Amen. I want to direct your attention to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. And when you think of the person that I'm going to be speaking about, Jacob, it's somewhat hard to imagine him being listed among the heroes of faith. Because you see what the grace of God can do with an individual's life. Because when we start out with his story today in Genesis 28, he starts out with him being a fugitive. His brother wanting to kill him. And the anger was so intense that he had to leave home. And God met him on his journey. Isn't it amazing how the grace of God is extended to people like Jacob? And to us. So I want to direct your attention to Genesis 28. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. I'm not going to read through the entire text all the way to 22, but I am going to read certain passages and then come back and refer to several of those passages. Beginning in verse 10, chapter 28. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place. And I want you to underscore that in your mind. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place, that certain place, and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place and went to sleep. Isn't it amazing how the word place is used over and over in that one passage of Scripture? That certain place. He stayed in that place. He took one of the stones of that place. And he lay down in that place. So this certain place became a special place. And it's amazing how this certain place, which if you read on down into verse 19, was a place called Luz, L-U-Z. Some people pronounce it Luz, but the correct pronunciation, according to a Bible scholar that I discussed this with, he said it's actually pronounced Luz. So how do you turn a place called Luz into a special place? That's what my text is all about today. There's this certain place. But it was at this certain place that he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. I've been on some tall ladders, but I don't think I've ever been on one that reached to heaven, not literally. But notice it was set up on earth and it reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. And your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you, in all of your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And behold, I am with you to keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this place. Now, Jacob, as I said just a moment ago, was fleeing for his life. The wrath of his brother, Esau, and I'm losing my microphone here. If I had bigger ears, I wouldn't have that problem with him. But Jacob, at this point in his life, still a young man, was a fugitive. A fugitive because of the blessing that he received from his father, Abraham. After Esau surrendered his birthright, the scripture says that Abraham blessed Jacob. And because he blessed Jacob with the blessing of the firstborn, a double portion, Esau wanted to kill him. And so Jacob flees for his life. And we pick the story up in verse 10 that he left Beersheba and he came to this place called Luz, a distance of about 50 miles from Beersheba. We know that it was an intense relationship because Jacob ran 50 miles before he even stopped. The normal day of travel would be about 20 miles, so he actually traveled about 2.5 days before he ever stopped the first time. And when he stopped because he was exhausted. And the Bible says that he came to this certain place and he stayed there all night. He took a stone, and he made a pillow out of it. And that night, while he slept, he had a prophetic dream. And in this dream, he saw a ladder. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 1, in verse 51, when he was speaking to Nathanael, after Philip had brought Nathanael, or introduced Nathanael to Jesus, Jesus told Nathanael, he says, "Hereafter you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Referencing this passage of Scripture, referencing this ladder. So we know the ladder is who? Who is our connection to heaven? How do we get from earth to heaven? Through Jesus. And at the top of the ladder was who? Jesus. Isn't it interesting? He saw, he had a revelation of God Almighty. Because the man at the top of the ladder, the Lord said to him, he says, "I am the God of your father," who? Abraham. "And I'm the God of Isaac." So we see that the Lord introduced himself to this fugitive in this prophetic dream. And as he looked at the Lord standing at the top of the ladder, the scripture says the Lord stood above it and he introduced him to himself. And then he said, "To your descendants. Your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth." In other words, he says, you're going to be a man that's going to multiply many, many times. And at that time, he was a fugitive and did not even have a wife. Not only that, he told him he was going to give him the land. He said, "The land that you are lying on, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants." Isn't it amazing to start receiving promises from God and you don't even have any offspring, and they're going to bless your offspring too? Especially receiving a revelation of God, a promise of God, and you a fugitive. You a man on the run, a man that your brother wants to kill you. And he said, "All the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of you." He says, "And one other thing, I'm going to be with you all the days of your life." Four promises in this prophetic dream. Let's go back over them very quickly. I'm going to give you the land that your head lay on last night. I'm going to give it to you. Now, if God's going to give us land, that's the land that God intended for Israel to have. And I don't have the time to get into what's Israel's and what belongs to somebody else today. But God says this land is to for you and for your descendants for how long? Forever. So there are certain promises that I believe that God gives the believer that they are forever. He wants you to have them forever. He says, not only am I going to give you land, but I'm going to bless your household. I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to multiply your descendants. How many would like more of you? How many would like to reproduce more of you? Well, if we've got the blessing of God on us, we certainly need it, don't we? I'm going to bless your offspring. I'm going to bless, and they're going to impact the entire world. Could you imagine God giving you a promise that will help you impact the whole world? You see, God intends for every believer to have world impact. Now, every believer can't go to McKinney, Texas. Every believer can't go to Oklahoma City. Every believer will not be going overseas to the foreign missionary field. But every believer can impact the world in your lifetime. By the way that you respond to the Lord, by the way that... Because you see, Jacob never stepped foot on the United States. But we're being blessed today because of Jacob, aren't we?
Right, amen.
Now notice what happens. I'm going to be with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now I want to jump over into the New Testament for just a moment. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, we come to the end of Jacob's life. Verse 21 says it like this: by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now I want to point this out because this is so important. When we look at Jacob at a place called Luz, and then we look at Jacob at the end of his life leaning on a staff, and he's blessing the sons of Joseph, and he's coming to the end of his life, and he is a living testimony that God will do what He has promised to do. God has been with him all of his life, and now he's ready to bless his grandchildren, not the next generation, but in essence the next two generations. He's blessing Joseph's sons. And I believe that God intends for us to receive something from him that we can pass on to the next generation and to the next generation, that it should not end with us. That the promises of God, that God says, I'll give you land, I'll give you multiplication in your family, I will cause your family to bless the earth, and I'll be with you all the days of your life. I believe that those are promises that we need to pass on to our children and for them to pass on to their children as well. I believe, at least according to what Jacob did here, we can impact a minimum of two generations in our own life. I want to impact my children's lives, and I want to impact my grandchildren's lives. And hopefully, if I live long enough and Jesus tarries, I want to impact my great-grandchildren. In other words, I want to impact my children or the people that God has made me responsible for till I leave this earth. I want to be leaning on my staff, blessing somebody. Hallelujah. All the days of my life, he says, I'm going to be with you. The reason that Jacob could bless was because God was with him. You can't bless somebody if God's not with you. Now here's what happened. Jacob woke up. All of this was a dream. It had not happened yet. It was a dream. But what was his first words when he woke up? God is in this place. He knew that he had been in the presence of God. And folks, let me tell you something. We as individuals must experience the presence of God. It's not enough to know about God. We need to experience God. And God spoke to Jacob in a prophetic dream, but when he awakened from his sleep, he knew he had been in the presence of the living God. He had been introduced to God Almighty. He had been introduced to the great I Am. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And what he was telling him, I want to also be your God. You see, it's not enough for my children to know about God. They got to know God. It's not enough for my grandchildren to know about God. I want them to know God. Jacob said it this way, "This is an awesome place. This is an awesome place." In fact, he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, what's interesting about this, because when Jacob arrived the evening before, he arrived at a place called Luz. Now, there's something significant about Luz, and Luz was a place that was known as a place of ill repute. It was a place of wickedness. In fact, according to Judges 1, it was a city that had a secret entrance into the city. Something like a cave that you would actually have to walk through, and somebody would have to tell you or point you in the direction of where that entrance was. I think it's interesting that Jacob could find the entrance, and at this place, a place called Luz, a place that most Christians would never show up, God showed up. Isn't it amazing the places that God will show up? You see, this is not the first place that God showed up on a wicked place. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they turned to paradise, or they forfeited their privilege to live in paradise. God had to expel them from there. But God showed up to Adam and Eve when they were in their sin. He came looking for them. And we found that God found Jacob. You see, oftentimes we use the expression, "I found the Lord." Well, the Lord has not been lost. You are. He actually found you. And I remember my own personal experience. Now, the Lord did everything He could for 2 weeks in a row. Every day, I went to a revival service every night for 14 days. Every night. And 13 nights, I walked away just as lost as when I entered the door. The Lord convicted my heart of my sins, but I didn't receive Him. I got up and I left. It wasn't until the 14th night, and I don't know when's the last time a church has had a revival that lasted that long, but that actually lasted for 3 weeks. It went on a week after that. But on the 14th night, on a Saturday night, the Lord found me, and I encountered His divine presence. I experienced God so much that I never went back to my old way of life. And that's been almost 39 years ago. What I'm saying is the encounter that I had with God that night had such an impact on my life that I've never wanted to turn my back on God since. Now that doesn't mean that times have not been difficult. And that doesn't mean that I don't have to continue to build on that relationship. But God impacted my life so much that night. And I can tell you, God impacted Jacob's life so much that night. He said, "This place is an awesome place. It may be considered by most a place of wickedness. It may be a place of ill repute. It may be a place that nobody would want to send their children. But I'm telling you, this place has been transformed. This certain place has become a special place for me." He says, "I'm going to call it a house of God right here." And you see, that's really what needs to take place. We need to establish the presence of God in a place where wickedness now dwells. Light drives out darkness. Hallelujah. So we see that Jacob took a stone that he had put his head on, set it up as a pillar. Notice he took his pillow and made a pillar. And he did something unusual. And I've never caught this until just when I was preparing this message. He poured oil on that stone. Now, Jacob, traveling as he was traveling, no doubt traveled light. And the most precious possession he would have had in his possession would have been oil. And it was probably a flask of oil that he carried in a ram's horn. And he took the most precious thing to him and the pillow that had become such a hard place, he poured oil on that, which is worship. He felt like he had to worship God because God had manifested His presence. And folks, when there's a manifestation of God's presence, it demands a human response of some sort. So Jacob took out the most precious thing that he had, and he began to worship the man that he saw standing at the top of the ladder. He poured oil all over that pillar that had been a pillow for him. And he worshiped the Lord. He magnified the Lord. Folks, when we come into the presence of God, we should. That should be the response of our heart, is to worship Him. I know that when the Lord saved me on the third day of March of 1973, that the only words that I could say, oh, and I kept saying them over and over and over again, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you grateful for what God's done for you? Well, Jacob wanted to express to God his heart at that moment. And he worshiped the Lord. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. But the name of that city, listen to this, had been Luz previously. Things changed. The location, that certain place, became a special place. It became a house of God for him. And Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Now, what did God promise Jacob? I'll give you what? I'll give you land. I'm going to multiply your descendants. Your descendants are going to bless the world. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to keep you all the days of your life. And now listen to Jacob. Now, I'm going to make a vow. The part that I want to point out, did God require Jacob to make this vow? He didn't. He didn't require anything. He gave him four promises without any conditions. I find that interesting. However, when Jacob got into the manifest presence of God, he felt like he had to do something. So he made a vow. He said, now God, if you will be with me and keep me, and you're going to give me bread, and you're going to provide clothing for me to put on, and you're going to make it possible for me to come back to my father's house in peace, he says, then you're going to be my God. Let me say it this way. If God would keep those four promises, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to multiply your descendants. I'm going to cause your descendants to bless the whole earth, or through your descendants, the whole world will be blessed. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to keep you. I'm going to do these things for you. How many believe that that is worth something? And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you how much? A tenth. Does Jacob sound generous? Now, God has said He's going to do all this stuff for him. And Jacob said, God, if you do that for me, then I'll give you a tenth of everything that you give me. I'm going to bless you with a tenth of it. Boy, was he generous. God's going to completely take care of him. And Jacob says, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that you give me. I'm going to give it back to you. It's called a tithe. Now, I'm really emphasizing that for a reason. When you look at this story, it almost looks like that Jacob really is not a very generous person. I mean, if God promises to do all that for you, you're not going to have any need for anything. And he says, I'm going to give you a tenth of it. But isn't it amazing if we were to study the church world today, all the promises that God promises to the body of Christ, and we struggle giving them as much as Jacob did. Do we not? I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't struggle giving the tithe. It doesn't bother me to give the tithe. Never has bothered me. Now, I think there's a reason. Because I actually tithe before I ever got saved. My grandmother drilled into me, you don't tithe, you rob God, you're going to go to hell. Now, she probably should have been telling me that I needed to get right first. But see, I worked for her son, my uncle. He paid me $10 a week, and she says, don't you rob God, you give God His tithe. And she drilled that into me since I was just a small boy, because I started pumping gas at his gas station when I was 9 years old. So from the time that I was 9 years old, and I didn't get saved till I was 20, but I still paid tithes. Because of the influence of my grandmother. And I said that to say this. What kind of an influence did Jacob have on the next generation? Everything's not perfect if you look into 12 tribes of Israel. But I can tell you this much. We have Christianity today because of what God promised to Jacob then. Because out of his loins came Christ. Hallelujah. And the whole world, I asked the question, did God renege on his promise that the whole world would be blessed? He did not. He sent Jesus. For in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the whole world has access to the blessing. The whole world has access to the ladder, the gate that Jacob said is, this is the gate to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to go through the man standing at the top of the ladder. Hallelujah. He's the only access. He's the only door. He said it this way, I am the door. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. And when we have been accepted into His family, He blesses us. And He can transform our lose place into Bethel, the house of God. And everything can change in our life. My prayer to anyone and everyone who hasn't stepped onto the ladder yet would do that today. What I want, and my prayer is this, that every person in this house of worship today would have a God encounter. That we would all experience His presence. That it's not enough just to hear about Jesus. We need to experience Him. And that experience would have such an impact on our life that when we come to the end of our journey on this earth, and I'm way past 60. Not now, but when I am there. I want to be able to, when I can't do nothing more but to lean on my staff. That I have to have help from my staff to stand up. I still want to have enough energy to bless the next generation. not a way to leave this world. Now, Jacob wasn't the best character in his lifetime. But when we see him at the end of his life, God calls him a hero of faith. By faith, he blessed the next generation and the next generation. And I want to have something to bless the next generation with. It's called the presence of God. The presence of God is sufficient for whatever we face in our world today. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world today. If you listen to the TV news commentators, you could become very depressed and disillusioned. But I've got news for you today. I've got good news for you today. CNN, Fox News, and the other network news agency are not in control. They report the news as they see it. The problem is their vision is clouded. Because they don't realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to rule this earth with righteousness. And my God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. There is no shortage. There is no economic crisis in heaven. And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we come into compliance with what He promises to do, and when we meet His conditions, He can cause bread to return on water that you've cast on there. So bow your heads. Father God, I come before You today with a heart of thanksgiving. I thank You for each person that's in this house of worship today. The Prayer of Faith Church family. God, I'm grateful for every one of them that's here today. And I'm asking a special blessing upon them. First of all, that they would each and every one have a personal encounter with God and know that You are their Lord and their Savior. May they call upon the name of the Lord. May they repent of their sin. Accept You as their personal Savior. Make You Lord of their life. Leave here today knowing that they've been in the presence of God and realize that they've been in a house of worship and that they will become true worshipers of God. Pour an oil out on their hard places. When life is difficult, let's just take a moment to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I bless in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this church. Pray that its influence would increase. That each person here would experience the presence of God and that they in turn would be able to bless the next generation and the next generation. And that they would leave here saying how awesome it was to be in the presence of God today. Thank You, Lord. Now while your heads bowed, your minds are on the Lord. Is there anyone here that you don't know for certain right now that you're ready to meet the Lord? Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But I do want to pray with you. Is there anyone? I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting love. And when God appeared to Jacob, he didn't deserve the presence of God. God didn't owe him anything. But God showed up in a dream, and that dream impacted the rest of his life. May God show up in our lives in the most unlikely places, but may He impact us in such a way that it will bring us to the place when we come to the end of our journey that we'll have something to pass on to the next generation. Brother Jack, would you come?
One of the things that I noticed in this passage was, and I felt like the Holy Spirit, as your pastor, wants me to give to you today, was one of the phrases was, God was in this place and I did not know it. God was in this place and I did not know it. For you that's lost loved ones this week, we've had several that to lose loved ones, God is in that place. For you that have struggling with relationships right now, God is in it. For you that are going through health problems, God is there. I thought, how can he be so surrounded by God and not know it? But how many can relate to that statement? God was there and I did not know it. Well, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you today, he is there. And he's listening and he's in the midst of your problems. But here's, I think we're a lot like Jacob. We need to call this place where we're at special because God's going to show up and do something right here where we're at. And if you're in a place right now where you say, I need to know that God is here in this, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray for you. And I'm going to lift my hand because I've got a situation coming up, some surgery. I've got a little tumor in the top of my mouth. They said, we don't know what it is, but I just want to know that God is in it. So I'm lifting my hand. If you just, there's a place right now and you need to know, hey, God, you're in it. Would you lift your hand? Thank you very much for your honesty. Father, here we are and we have our hands lifted high to you. And we just want to know that you're in it. We can go through it. We can endure it. But we want to be blessed in it. And so right now, for everyone that has their hand lifted high, I pray that you'll bless them. Just like you did with Jacob, they'll know that you're in the midst of it. In the midst of my surgery, in the midst of whatever it is that they're saying, God, I need with my hand lifted, I need you to see this hand, and I need to know today that, you know what, you're here, and you're with me, you're in it. And Father, we know that by faith, but sometimes we don't feel it, and so would you just touch our feeler as well? Would you just let us feel your presence and your peace and your power right now through the power of the Holy Spirit? We receive and we're looking for you in it, Lord, whatever it is today. We're looking for you in it and we thank you for showing up in a powerful way. Let us leave this place today knowing that, you know what? God is in it. I'm not alone today. God is in it. And whatever it is we're facing, whatever it is we're going through or will go through today, we just, by faith, we receive that you're in it. And you're going to bless it and touch it and walk with us and restore and heal and put your blessing upon it. Thank you, Lord, for that. We've asked and now we receive by faith in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.